The message this morning is based on our epistle lesson of James chapter 2. On a personal note, I just want to say how wonderful it has been to be at the men's Bible study that we have at Hope, Bible study and breakfast over at the Bridge Coffee and Community. We have been reading and discussing Ephesians these past couple of months. By the way, the next one is scheduled for Saturday, September 28th at 8:30 in the morning. In Ephesians, Paul wrote to the heart of the gospel and really pulls no punches. He says in Ephesians chapter 2, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For you are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. In our entire existence, Christian life, salvation, faith, and good works, all of it is a gift that's graciously given on account of Christ. We are reminded of Paul's words to the Romans, where he says, "And to him who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness." Romans chapter 4, verse 5. So salvation and justification are ours all by God's gracious work in Christ alone. There is nothing else for us to trust. Now, we look at James from this morning's epistle lesson and the great justification debate. James writes in chapter 2, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him?" Wait a second. I thought that Paul just established that faith apart from works saves. So is James contradicting Paul? James goes on to say, "So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." James chapter 2, verse 17. So what is it then? Is it faith alone, or is it faith plus works? Is it Paul or James? Does the Holy Spirit contradict himself? Upon a little bit closer examination of Paul and James, I think we will find there is no contradiction whatsoever. Both claim faith is that which alone receives salvation, but faith is not created nor given to be just idle. Faith apart from works saves and justifies because it trusts Christ alone for salvation. In no way is James claiming Christ's saving work is insufficient and needs supplementation from our feeble works. That is not James's fight. Rather, James is saying what all the Lutheran reformers constantly echoed in their writings. For example, consider Martin Luther himself. Martin Luther says in his works, chapter 35, "Faith is a divine work in us that makes us born anew of God. It kills the old Adam and makes us altogether different people, in heart and spirit and mind and all powers, and it brings with it the Holy Spirit. Oh, it is a living, busy, active, mighty thing, this faith. It is impossible for it not to be doing good works incessantly. Thus, it is impossible to separate works from faith, quite as impossible as to separate heat and light from fire." Let me repeat that. It's impossible to separate works from faith, quite as impossible as to separate heat and light from fire. So Luther, Paul, and James agree. Faith which trusts Christ alone for salvation cannot help but work. But that is precisely the problem for James. He is dealing with a congregation using God's gratuity in Christ as an excuse to withhold love from the poor and to favor the rich. The congregation fawns all over the wealthy, making sure they feel important and valued. while at the same time shoving the poor off to the side. They are boasting of their faith in Christ Jesus while disregarding those who Christ loves. Blessed are the poor, says Jesus in Luke chapter 6. The congregation of James's address responds, well, sure, but we are blessed by this rich dude. But James goes on and says, are not the rich ones who oppress you and the one who drag you to court? And the congregation responds, well, yeah, but just think of how they'll help our church's reputation and, you know, draw a crowd. Faith which trusts Christ alone for salvation cannot help but work. James, in his typical fashion, will not hold back with the law on such sin. But if you show partiality, James goes on to say, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in part has become accountable for all of it. James chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Where Paul was working against the devil to convince his congregations they could not add to their justification with their works, James is fighting the same devil who is trying to convince this congregation that Christ's justifying works gets them out of loving their neighbor. Both are kind of equally demonic. Both are equally sinful. Both despise God's word. Paul's church is dismissing the gospel, and James is dismissing the law of love. Both dismiss the work and love of Christ. Now, we must be careful ourselves and not run the risk of moralizing this text. For example, it is important to conclude the story of life of Christ, showing how he became poor on the cross and for the sake of poor sinners, or how he spent his time with the poor and despised of the world. Remember, the poor tax collectors and sinners whose poverty was not necessarily of the monetary sort. So, for example, to exemplify a church doing this wrongly, I recount the conversation I read about a pastor from Los Angeles who had a celebrity visit his church. Now, they were not a very large church, but a rather smaller congregation. The celebrity came to the lead pastor before the service and asked for some privacy in order to worship in peace, only to have the pastor later announce her presence to the whole congregation. Well, she never returned. To contrast this, I also read about a really small church. And this church, though, was divided. It was constantly in contention with one another. Well, one Sunday, a homeless man who smelled like gin and cigarettes came down and sat right in the front. And members who were in their every Sunday seats moved over and welcomed him to sit with them. They guided him through the hymnal. They welcomed him up to the altar. And afterwards, he was given a piece of cake and a cup of coffee. The next week, he came back with more homeless friends. It must have been beautiful to see faith in action. To include a biblical example of how faith works, let's look at James's example at the end of this chapter. James chapter 2, verse 25, about Rahab. Now, Rahab was definitely not a worker of righteousness according to the law. She was a Gentile temple prostitute living in the city of Jericho, according to Joshua 2. She was hardly justified because of her work, yet she had heard of God's saving work for Israel and believed this God would give his people the promised land. So Rahab's faith in this promise prompted her to work for God's people in ways which she could not have come and could have been at a great cost to her. Her actions were the fruit of her faith. Maybe you have similar stories to share. It may take some work to find some other accounts, but stories such as these helps to illustrate James's point. Where is Christ in all this text? Well, he's in the poor and hurting neighbor in your congregation, Matthew 25:40 reminds us. Christ identifies with his body, the church. To sin against the church, then, is to sin against Christ. What is more, to act according to a theology of glory that exalts in money and status at the cost of your brothers and sisters who are hurting or suffering anyway, is to act the opposite way of Christ. James goes on to say, listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he promised to those who love him? James chapter 2, verse 5. Christ chooses the weak, the poor, and the foolish of this world to shame the wise, which is in 1 Corinthians 1, 28 and 29. Christ is not to be found for those who reject the hurting, struggling, ailing sinners, whom he has baptized and loves with an everlasting love. He will not abide by those who snap bruised reeds and snuff out smoldering wicks, Matthew 12, 20. For those who are poor and hurting and have been burned by a congregation of a church, Christ has no condemnation for them. He has chosen them, shed his blood for them, and given all things for their salvation. If the church fails to follow suit, they will answer to Christ. He, however, never fails to be faithful to his word. He is there to heal, forgive, and restore. James and Paul agree. This love from Christ not only saves and justifies us, but forms our love for one another. And the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, will guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.